Hi, and welcome to the Shoot From The Heart podcast with me, Diane Bell. If you want to write a script, make a movie, or quite simply live an abundant and creatively fulfilled life, you are in the right place. Each week, I'll share with you tips, techniques, and real-world information that will inspire and empower you on your path. Thank you so much for joining me. I am rooting for you all the way. Let's do this.
Hello, gorgeous screenwriters and filmmakers, and welcome to episode 111 of the Shoot From The Heart podcast. Oh my gosh, 111. If you're the kind of person that likes those angel numbers, this is your sign. The sign of what, I do not know, but whatever you've been looking a sign for, you have got the sign right now. It's episode 111, and I'm celebrating that. So today, the conversation that I wanted to have with you is really about taking responsibility for your career as a screenwriter or filmmaker. And I want to talk to this tendency that we have as artists to think someone's going to come along and save us. Someone's going to come along and choose us. Someone's going to come along and look after all the parts that we don't want to deal with. And it's really nice to have these fantasies, and every artist and creative person has them. But today I want to talk about why they are fantasies and what to do about that fantasy, how to make the shift so that you actually build the career of your dreams and don't just stay in the sidelines as a big dreamer for the rest of your life. So when you're starting out on this path of writing screenplays or making movies, you're an artist, you're a creative person, you have stories you want to tell, you have visions of movies you want to make, and as I say, you come from that place of being a creative person, being an artist. Now, what I know to be true about artists is, in general, we don't love business. I don't want to make a sweeping generalization. I'm sure there's some of you out there who's like, I'm an artist and I love business. But many of us, and I really put myself into this bracket, come to this like, I'm a free spirit. I'm an artist. I'm a creative. I have these great ideas for movies. I have these great ideas for scripts. And I just want to write and I want to create and I want to be creative. And once we actually get over the first hurdle of becoming an artist, which is unblocking ourselves and allowing the art to flow, and that can take years. It took years for me. It's sort of like, now I can do it. I can write scripts. This is so fun. And I feel so comfortable doing this, and this is so great. And I have this fantasy that someone's going to come along and choose me. They're going to take my script. They're going to give me tons of money. It's going to be great. They're going to take care of all the business side of it. I'm going to get this agent, and this agent is going to be this magical person who's going to sell my scripts for me. I'm just going to say, here's my latest script. And they'll say, here's $1 million. And I'll say, thank you so much. This is so great. It's like the fantasy that we have as a filmmaker when we have that script and we're like, I want to make this into a movie. And we're like, I just need to find that producer who's going to give me $3 million to make my movie. I've never made a movie before, but I'm sure they're out there. They must exist. Why not? I'm going to find that person. They're going to give me $3 million to make my first movie. Now, as I said, it's totally fine to have these fantasies, but let's have some real talk here. When you finish your first screenplay, it's on you. No one is coming along to magically say, I'm going to sell your script for you. Many people get this idea, I'm just going to get that agent and they're going to sell it. Well, a little wake-up call here, a little bit of reality. No agent is going to sign you when you just have one script. In fact, many agents will not sign you even when you have three or even when you have five. And I'm not saying that it definitely won't happen or they definitely won't do that. But the truth is, agents are concerned with deals. They're not even really concerned with your career. They're more concerned with just like negotiating the deal for you. And unless there's some sort of deal happening, or unless you already have a history of some big deals, they're not really very interested in you. Now, managers may be more interested in somebody who is emerging, who is beginning their career. But even a manager is looking for somebody who already has skin in the game, who already has some traction, some momentum. One script is not going to cut it, no matter how good we might think that script is. So the idea that we just write a script and then we're going to magically get representation and they're going to deal with it just isn't true. It really is not going to happen like that. And if you know me well enough, you'll know I'm always going to say, never say impossible, you know, like crazy stuff happens, absolutely. And maybe it will happen for you. But for the majority of people, and I'm just going to say I've never actually heard of that happening, that someone has written one script and has immediately gotten an agent, but I'm sure it could happen. but I've just never heard of it so far. But, you know, the fact is, if you've written that one script and you really believe in it and you want to get it out there into the world, you do want to sell it, you're going to have to educate yourself about the industry, and you're going to have to educate yourself about how to market yourself and your script within it. And no one's going to come along and save you. No one's going to come along and do that work for you. It's just not how it works. Now, the same thing with if we are wanting to make a movie. And again, I see a lot of first-time filmmakers get really, you know, caught in this idea that they're going to find a producer who's going to be this magic fairy godmother for them and raise finance for their movie and make it all happen, and they just get to be the director. Now, that will happen at a certain point in your career, but typically it will not happen with your first film. And the reason for this is quite simply, if you think of that producer who actually has access to money, who could get money, what they're looking for is somebody who they feel safe to carry a movie, someone who they feel safe to go out and raise that finance for. For someone who they feel safe to say, hey, give me $3 million, we're going to make a great movie, look at this person, look at their track record, they're going to be great. Now, if you've never made a movie before, you don't have that track record, you don't have that clout, you don't have that sort of standing in the eyes of a producer. So it's going to be really hard to find a producer who's going to back you. Now, you might go, well, what do I do then? Dove Simmons, who wrote this fantastic book, it really helped me a lot when I was making my first film. It's called The 2-Day Film School. I think that's what it was called. Well, Dove Simmons says, and he's absolutely right, he says, how do you get $10 million to make a movie? You make a movie for $1 million, that's pretty good. How do you get $1 million to make a movie? You make a movie for $100,000, that's pretty good. How do you get $100,000? You make one for $10,000. How do you get $10,000? You make one for $1,000, right? And it really is true. You've got to start where you are, and you've got to start with something. And you've got to make stuff that shows that you can do this so that people will back you. If you don't put your skin in the game and you don't make something that can show to people that you can do this, nobody is going to give you that money. You're not going to get the money to make your movie. And frankly, it's just like Dreamsville to think someone's going to come along and be so passionate about your project where you have no evidence that you can actually do it. Now, some of you might be aware that my first film cost around $140,000 when it was completed. The original budget for, I think, was about $120,000. And you might be thinking, well, Diane, that's, you know, you got raised $140,000 without actually making a film before that, which is totally true. That was my first film. I didn't make a short before that. I didn't make any other film before that. I raised $140,000. And I'd just like to point out the one thing that I would say that sealed me getting the finance for that film was shooting a concept trailer for it. I went to somebody for finance for that movie, and they said, I love the script, I love the budget, the schedule, like everything is amazing about this project, I love it. But the one thing that I really don't feel confident about is you. I don't know if you can direct. I don't know if you can deliver a decent film for that money. And I thought, fair play, that's actually true. I don't know if I can do it either because I've never done it before. So I said, okay, I totally get it. Wait a moment and I'll come back to you. And I went away and I spent a couple thousand dollars of my own money making a concept trailer, making a trailer that I felt would show to this investor that it would be a great film. And it worked. We made that concept trailer. They looked at it and they said, oh, wow, this is fantastic. I love it. Okay, I'm in. I'm going to put money into your movie. So it did require me taking that step that Dove Simmons says, like, how did I get $140,000? I made something for $2,000 that impressed somebody. It wasn't $10,000, it was $2,000. So there was that step. I really believe if you want to direct a movie, you've got to be willing to make something happen, make it happen yourself, and you are going to have to be the driving force. Now, this is what it all comes to as artists. It's not enough just to be good at our art. I know, that hurts, because we all take so long learning our craft and perfecting our craft and getting better at our craft, and we're like, oh my God, I just need the money. I just need the right person. I just need the right support. Now, first of all, just about that piece of perfecting our craft or really getting great at it, I'm going to be brutally honest here. I think a lot of people think that they are perfecting their craft and they're getting good enough. And frankly, they're not really at the standard they need to be professional. I'm just going to put that out there. And I know I'm always super encouraging and I'm always positive. And the positive news here is, you can keep learning, you can keep growing. It's not that, oh my God, I'm not good enough and I'm never going to be good enough and that therefore I should give up. we should all always as artists be striving to be better and to do better work and to learn more tools and to learn more techniques and to hone our craft and get better at it. And I think there's far too many people in the screenwriting world who feel like, I've written this one script and it's pretty good and it should get made. And frankly, it's just not that great. It's the equivalent of being like a decent tennis player at your local gym, but you're not ready to go into professional tennis leagues. And it's really up to you to commit to doing that work. We talked about this in the podcast last week, and I would invite you to listen to that. But you've got to commit to doing the work. You've got to commit to getting better and pushing yourself and striving for better and educating yourself, getting yourself in rooms with other people, talking with people, learning all the time, being committed to that evolution and growth. But even beyond that, once we do have that piece into play and we are actually writing scripts that are at that level, they are worthy of being sold, they are worthy of getting made, there is still another piece. And the next stage really in anyone's career is now to understand the industry and then really understand how to market yourself within it, how to market your work. And that's that whole thing, not just about the practicals of learning how to write a good log line, learning how to write a good pitch, learning how to write a query letter, but also understanding the etiquette of these things, also understanding the energetics of these things, also understanding who they should be going to, why they should be going to them, and how to show up in this world in such a way that people will want to work with you. Because something that I always want to remind you about working in the film industry, selling a script, getting a movie made, it's not a business of an easy transaction whereby I buy your script and now I never see you again. It's like, hey, thanks, I bought your script, bye. That's not really how it works. For me, every time that I've sold a script, we actually begin a working relationship together. So somebody isn't just buying a script, they're choosing to work with you for usually quite a long period of time. And so who you are and the energy you're putting out and the vibe of you matters a lot. Because people want to work with people who are good to work with. They want to work with people who are upbeat, who have a positive energy around them, who have a great attitude. They don't want to work with people who feel needy, desperate, depressed, and having a hard time. And it's not to say that you can't have all those human emotions. You can totally have the human emotions. But you've got to work on yourself and develop yourself to the point that you are somebody that people want to work with. Now, beyond the actual fact of, like, you know, working on yourself in a way, and I really do think that is an important part of this journey, but it's also important that you're learning about the industry and that you then start taking action and you take responsibility for yourself. You get rid of this idea that your success is contingent on somebody else choosing you, and you choose yourself. You choose yourself now. You realize that you are the one that can make it happen. Instead of having this idea, I just need to find the right person. And I hear so many screenwriters and filmmakers say that every single day. I just need to find the right person. And I'm going to give you some tough talk here, but I'm kind of like, grow up. You're the right person. You are the right person. Start being the right person in your own life and everything will change. Instead of looking for it outside of yourself, imagining that there's some fairy godmother who's going to come along and say, you, I love your script. I'm going to make it happen. You decide, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to sell the script. I'm going to make this movie. I'm going to make this happen. Like, I'm not going to wait for somebody else to come along and do it. And if you take that energy forward in your career, either as a screenwriter or a filmmaker, you are going to make magic happen. This is the key to it. It's not looking for that power source outside of yourself. It's finding the power inside yourself. And it was that same power that first ignited you to actually write your screenplay. Now we need to ignite that power for selling it or for raising the money to make your movie so that you're not thinking somebody else is going to do that for you. Now, the truth is the point at which you will reach in your career where other people really do these things for you is probably much later than you imagine. Like, most of us also harbor this fantasy that, oh, I'm going to write one script, I'm going to sell it, and then I'm going to get this amazing agent. And from then on, it's going to be so easy. Right? They're going to sell all my work. It's going to be awesome. Or I'm going to make this one movie. And then after that, people are going to be lining up to work with me. Producers are going to be like all over themselves. And I will have all the choices. And it's going to be freaking amazing. Again, beautiful fantasy. Well, I'm just here to say, as somebody who has sold scripts and made movies, It just doesn't work like that either. And it's quite shocking. And I was quite disappointed. For instance, after I sold my first screenplay, I was then hired to rewrite a film for John McTiernan, the director of Die Hard. Now, this happened not because I suddenly got a great agent who put me in the room to get that job. No, I didn't have an agent. I met somebody who knew him, who had just worked with him. He introduced us. And by sheer chance, we immediately struck up this bond because he asked me who had optioned my first screenplay. He said, oh, I hear you just sold your first screenplay. Who did you sell it to? I said the name of the person and he just about fell off his chair. He was like, I sold my first screenplay to that person, right? And so we have this connection. And that's what ended up getting me this relationship where he asked me to read a lot of scripts for him. And then he asked me to rewrite a script with him. Now, it wasn't like no agent was involved. So I set that up. And then I set up another job where I wrote a horror film for somebody. And again, they were somebody that I vaguely knew. And I just pitched it, the idea to them. So no agent was involved. And so I was getting these different jobs. But there was no agent or manager making it happen for me. I was hustling. I was taking every opportunity I could to meet people, to network, to talk about my work. And I was putting myself out there and making things happen by myself. Now, I remember around that time, I started to feel like I should have an agent or a manager. I mean, I'm making good money. Surely somebody out there would like to take a percentage of that. And I'm making it happen without an agent or manager. Imagine what I could do with an agent or a manager. And I remembered then taking a little bit of time to try to get one. And I reached out to a whole bunch of people. And guess what? No one was interested. They all just kept saying, no thanks, no thanks, no thanks. And suddenly I was just like, oh, this just doesn't feel good. This actually is wearing me down. It's bringing my energy down. It's making me feel powerless. It's making me feel a little bit depressed and a little bit frustrated. And a little bit like, I'm never going to get there. Like, there's something wrong with me. Like, I'm never going to break through. So I thought, I don't like feeling like this. Screw it. I'm not going to bother trying to find an agent or manager. I'm just going to keep doing the work. And I made a decision for myself at that point that I was going to work and work until I became inevitable and they came for me. That was my decision. Now, I'm not saying that you need to make that decision. You might be somebody that's like, no, I'm going to do the work of getting an agent or manager. But for me, I just felt like I just want to focus my energy and my time and my resources on actually writing the scripts and then making a film as opposed to trying to get representation. I'm not saying that you should do that. But the funny thing is, when I made my first film, it got into Sundance. Now, I don't know about you, but I completely at this point had this fantasy that my film would play at Sundance and literally 20 agents would be all vying for me. Like, everyone would be knocking at my door. Like, I have a movie in the main competition, in the main festival in America for movies. And for sure, this means my time has come and it's going to be amazing and everyone's going to want to meet me and it's going to be my choice at the buffet of which agent or manager I sign with. Now, I did have a few people reach out to me. I think I had, though, three. After Sundance. I'm pretty sure it was three. I want to say that I actually met three. So maybe a couple more reached out and I just felt they weren't right at all. So I didn't even bother to meet them. But I actually went for lunch with three people after Sundance. And so it was hardly like the 20. It was hardly like the floods. It was hardly like everybody. And to be honest, the people who reached out to me were all managers. There were no agents that reached out to me. So the manager that I actually signed with, I remember we went for this lunch and it was really interesting. So I'd come back from Sundance and it was the week after I got back that he emailed me and said, I saw your movie at Sundance. I would love to have lunch with you and chat about your career. So we went for lunch and he said, I came to see your movie. He told me all the things he loved about it. He said, but to be honest, I didn't think about reaching out to you then. And I was like, huh. And he said, because I still didn't have anything to sell. I was like, oh, that's weird. So I'm like, no, I just have a movie at Sundance getting a standing ovation with Robert Redford in the audience. No big deal. But he goes, you know, it was after I got back to LA and I saw the Variety Roundup of Sundance that I felt, okay, now I have something to sell. And what happened was at the end of Sundance, Variety do the roundup and our film was singled out as one of the top two films of the festival. And there was an absolute rave review of my film in that, why this is one of the best films at the festival. And it was really interesting. He said, now I've got something to sell. That's when I decided to call you. And I went, that's so interesting. As a manager, he still didn't feel like just having a movie at Sundance was enough. Like, it wasn't until there was a Variety validation that he felt, okay, game on, which I just thought was fascinating. And I think this is it. When we see it from the other perspective, like from the artist's perspective, we're like, I'm making this great work. Why doesn't anybody want to work with me? Why doesn't somebody want to take care of my business side and sell my things for me and make shit happen for me? But we're not seeing it from the other perspective, from their perspective, which is obviously there's a lot of people to choose from. There's always more artists than positions in a sense. And they're looking at how can I actually sell this person? How can I sell their work? How can I raise money for their work? How can I make this happen? And we have to provide them with the fuel for that. That's on us. So this idea is filmmakers that we're just going to find that producer who's going to get $2 million for us. You know, we're asking them to do something that we're not willing to do for ourselves. My overall message from this podcast for you, what I'd love for you to take away, is that you're more powerful than you realize. You are in control of your career. You are the person that's going to make the magic happen. So don't wait for somebody else to come along and be that person. Start giving yourself the tools, start educating yourself, start learning about it, start creating plans, start getting yourself out there. Don't be in this position of thinking that somebody else has the magic power and you don't. You have the power, you've got to use it, okay? And when you decide to take full responsibility for yourself, where you're like, I'm not gonna wait around anymore. I'm not waiting for somebody to magically come along and make it happen for me. I'm going to make it happen. I promise you that day, everything will start to change. And you will, if you stay in that power and in that position long enough, you will reach a place where those people will start to come into your life. You will start to have a team. You'll start to have your agent and your manager and your lawyer and your producers and all the people who will take care of all the things that you don't want to do. It will come, but it starts with you. You've got to be the one that actually starts the wheels turning. So I hope this has been helpful, a little bit of a kick in the pants today, a little bit of a kick in the butt, but I hope in a good way that just sort of wakes you up as well to your own power. Now, if you want to learn more about developing your career, first of all, I'm doing a free live class this week on Friday called The Path to Screenwriting Success. And this one is particularly for screenwriters. I would love for you to join us. It's going to be a great class going into the different stages of your screenwriting career and what you should be focused on at each stage so that you can progress to the next level. And most of us will get stuck on certain stages, but what we think is the problem is often not the problem. So we're going to do a little bit of diagnosing of what the problems really are and how to shift them so that we can move on and we can get to the next level of success. So if that sounds interesting to you, the link is here in the show notes. Otherwise, you can go to dianebell.com/path and sign up for that free class. So dianebell.com/path. Now, on another note, I'm going to be closing registration to the network really soon. So if you want to join us, join now. And I tell you, it's going to be a fantastic time to join because we're also going to be launching a new class in April called Screenwriting Mastery. And this class is going to be really special. The only way to get it is in the network. It's going to be your guide to revising a screenplay. So you will work through your own screenplay through this class. It's going to take place over 4 weeks. But more than just revise your script, you're going to be learning techniques and tools to elevate your work and really take it to that next level. So if you have a good script, but you're ready to take it to Oscar-winning gold, join the network and get into that class so that you can really start to sharpen your skills and take them to the next level. I would love to see you in there. And if you don't know, the network is my membership for screenwriters and filmmakers who are serious about succeeding. We have the best vibe in there. We have the best time. Besides from a whole library of courses that you get access to, we also have 4 Zooms a month with me. So every single week, basically, we get together in a Zoom and we chat. We just had one last night. These calls are amazing. I mean, this is your opportunity just to ask about anything that's coming up, to get guidance, to connect with other screenwriters and filmmakers on the journey. It's so great. On that note, oh my gosh, write a screenplay in 8 weeks, my group for people writing their first screenplay. Oh my gosh. Two screenwriters have completed their screenplay in this round. So we started this new version of it 6 weeks ago. So Write Your Screenplay in 8 weeks has just been renamed Write Your Screenplay in 6 weeks for some of our participants. I'm so happy for them. I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited. It's so great, like, just watching the energy in that group. And seriously, if you want to write a screenplay, don't struggle. Don't make it hard. There is a way to do this where you will feel supported, where it's easy, where it's just like you'll be in your flow. And one of the best things that I heard is one of the women who just finished her screenplay, she just said, she's actually written many screenplays before, but she said that they should have never had so much fun doing it. And it just felt so free, and I've written the best script I've ever written. And for me, that's what it's all about. Like, I am here to just open that channel for you, give you the practical tools that you need, but just get you into your flow so that you write the best work you can. If you're interested in Write Your Screenplay, I have a free class right now that you can check out, and it will give you an idea of my approach to it. So that you will find at dianebell.com/writeyourscreenplay. Okay? So go to dianebell.com/writeyourscreenplay and check it out and get your screenplay on the page. All right, my dears. Thank you so much for being here with me this week. I appreciate you so much, and I'm having so much fun working with you in the network and in Write Your Screenplay in 8 weeks. I hope to see you in one of those Zooms soon. Lots of love. Have a great week.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. I know you can listen to so many different podcasts, so it really means the world to me that you chose to listen to this. If you've enjoyed this and you've had any value out of this podcast at all, can I ask a little favor? Could you please share it on social media or go to wherever you're listening to it and leave a review so that other people can find it? I really, really appreciate it so much. I love you so much, and I can't wait to see you the next one. If you want to get in touch at any point, send me a message, support@dianebell.com, and also check out my website, dianebell.com, and see what I'm up to. Hopefully I'll see you in the social medias. Take care, and I'll see you next time.